We're currently studying in our Bible classes what we call the prison epistles. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. And in our scripture reading this evening of Acts chapter 28, we're given a brief account there by Luke of Paul's two-year stay in a Roman prison. We find after a ship voyage across the Mediterranean that he, in Acts chapter 28 and verse 16, comes into Rome. He meets with some Jews and preaches the gospel to them. And then he's entered into a Roman prison for about 2 years. But we find the text says there that he continued to preach the kingdom of God and teaching things concerning the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness. And then look at the last three words of the book of Acts. None forbidding him. That's an interesting statement to me. That the Apostle Paul is confined, and yet he's free in a way to continue to do the Lord's work. None forbidding him. And the main person that did not forbid him was Paul himself. Paul did not get in the way of his own good. He continued to have the right attitude towards serving the Lord. And so this evening I want us to consider Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ. And we're studying these prison epistles, and there are some great doctrines that are taught in these four books. But this evening we're just going to look at Paul himself, not the doctrines that he taught others about the church and about the Lord, but what did he say about himself? What can we learn about himself that lets us know how to act when times are difficult in our lives? None forbidding him. It's a beautiful statement. He was not going to allow his circumstances to get him down. He was not going to allow his environment and his incarceration to just simply give up. None forbidding him. From time to time in our own personal lives, we might have to go through some sort of a trial or trouble or tribulation. How do we act in those situations? Is it an opportunity to give up and quit, or is it an opportunity to grow stronger and closer to the Lord? I don't know of anybody who suffered more, with the exception of Jesus Christ in the New Testament, than the Apostle Paul himself. And we find that even that does not faze him. He remains faithful to the Lord and positive. And I want to encourage us this evening that we can do the same. From time to time, there's going to be disappointments in our life and troubles and trials and setbacks and problems. But I want us to learn from the Apostle Paul this evening to remain strong in service to our Lord. When Luke records in Acts chapter 28 that Paul dwelt there about 2 whole years. We're looking at roughly 60 to 63 A.D. And for example, in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 20, Paul talks about himself as an ambassador in chains. Luke says that he was allowed to have people coming and going, but he was in a chain. And in Philippians chapter 1, for example, in verse 7, and later in verses 13 and 14, he talks about my bonds. And so there was a problem with this. It wasn't a vacation or something like that. He was aged, and this would have affected him. In the book of Philemon, in verse 9, he describes himself as Paul the aged. And we all know that when we get older, we have our ailments and our physical problems, and being incarcerated is not going to help that in any kind of way. So that was certainly against him. And then he just openly says, I have tribulations. You look at Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 13, and he talks about his conflict. Philippians 1 and verse 30. He talks about his sufferings in Colossians 1 and verse 24. Even though he was allowed to have people coming and going, this was not some resort hotel stay. This was a problem for Paul. And he had his tribulations and his sufferings during this time period. We're not given the details about his cell. We're not given the details about the exact treatment that he was given, but he describes it as tribulations and conflict and suffering. But when you read these four prison epistles, do you find Paul complaining? Do you find Paul just simply giving up and quitting and becoming discouraged? No. You find that he is having the attitude that we need to have. There are a lot of things I believe that we can learn from these prison epistles. There's a number of doctrines that are extremely important, but this evening we want to learn from Paul himself. It would be great to learn about Paul's doctrine about the church in Ephesians and in the book of Colossians. It would be great to learn about husbands and wives and parents and children as we've been studying recently in chapters 5 and 6. These are great doctrines from these epistles, but we're not going to do that this evening. We're going to look at Paul himself. It would be good to look at Philippians chapter 2, the deity and the humanity of Jesus. That's a great Bible doctrine. We could turn to the book of Colossians and learn some great doctrines, and even the little book of Philemon. But this evening, we're going to learn from Paul himself. What did he say about himself? What did he say about his attitude? What did he say about his disposition? And that's what we want to learn from in learning how to handle adversity. How do we handle that? How do we handle our problems? What is our response to trouble? And I know that I can learn from Paul. When those things come in our life, one of the first things we might do is complain, or one of the first things that someone might do is quit and become unfaithful. But we don't find Paul doing that. How do you and I handle adversity? Let's turn to Paul as that example this evening. When troubles come, is that an opportunity for us to become a better Christian or worse? Does the worst come out in us when we have our problems, or are we shown to be the better Christian? I'm amazed at the Apostle Paul. For this period of time and the things that he says about himself, you wouldn't have thought that he was in prison. But he was. You wouldn't have thought that he was having conflicts and troubles and tribulations, but he was. Because his disposition certainly doesn't show that. He's the Christian that we need to be. And so this evening, for the few moments that we have, I want us to glean from these four prison epistles the statements that we can pull out just about Paul himself. And let's be a prisoner of Jesus Christ like the Apostle Paul. We've never experienced, and we may never experience in our lifetime, incarceration. But when we go through problems in life, we need to face those things just like the Apostle Paul. And when I turn to these books, if you'll turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, the first thing that I find from the Apostle Paul is that he's praising the Lord. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Paul is not complaining to God and blaming God and, oh, woe is me. He's praising the Lord. That's amazing to me. You find in situations today where a person is going through problems and it's woe is me and the complaining. And I can certainly learn from that. And it's more of a negative attitude than a positive attitude. But Paul didn't blame God. You look at how this unfolded beginning back in Acts chapter 21 and the unnecessary and unlawful arrest and accusation. And then the false trials that he had before Felix and Agrippa. And then he says, I appeal to Caesar. Okay, take him to Caesar, and he's finally in Rome. He didn't do anything wrong to have any of this to be properly put on him, to justify these things. And yet, he's there at the hands of wicked men, and the first thing out of his mouth is, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Number one, when we have problems, we need to continue to praise God and not use that as an opportunity to blame God. In Ephesians 1:21, unto Him, God, be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus. There's only praise out of Paul's mouth. No complaint. No blame. No arguing with the Lord. You turn to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 20. Now unto our God and Father be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Is that what we do? Is that really our first response when we are having problems. Our first response, our first thought is, praise the Lord. A lot of times it's not. It's why and how did I get in this situation and why me? And I thought the Lord loved me and that type of thing. And people go down that road. The first characteristic of the Apostle Paul that I want us to consider this evening is that of praising the Lord. God doesn't change. And when our circumstances do, God doesn't change and He's still worthy of our praise and adoration. Let's make sure that we are thanking God for the blessings that He gives us. And we're going to see in just a moment that you would think that this would be a problem for Paul, but it actually turns out to be a very good thing. And while he's there in prison, folks are being saved. So certainly God can be praised for that. We need to learn this evening that when we're having our problems, and we will, to try to come out of ourselves and stay focused on being a faithful Christian. And the first thing that we need to remember to do is to praise the Lord. The second thing we need to learn from the Apostle Paul is that we find him in prison praying for others. The Apostle Paul didn't sit in prison and woe is me and give me attention and I'm down and out and I'm having these problems and when people are coming by he's bringing them down as well. We find that he's always praying and for others. It's not about Paul. And it's hard to remove ourselves. One of the most difficult things is to be selfless. To take ourself out of the equation. And that's what Paul always did. Cease not to give thanks for you. Making mention of you in my prayers. When Paul was in prison, he wasn't sitting there twiddling his thumbs. He wasn't sitting there just staring out the window. He wasn't sitting there just wasting time. But he was preaching the gospel, as we'll see in a minute. And he was praying for others. That takes a lot to be selfless and to be thinking of others. And Paul did that. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father. It'd be interesting, you know, when those Roman guards walk by and they see Paul down on his knees. Would he see us doing the same thing? In Philippians chapter 1 verses 3 through 4. I thanked my God. And notice the thankful attitude. Not discouraged and not blaming, but I thank my God upon all my remembrance of you, always in every supplication of mine, not some, but in every supplication of mine, on behalf of you all, making my supplication with joy. One of the hardest things when we have troubles and trials is to come out of ourselves and think about others, but we must continue to do that. Because it's the selfish attitude that begins to bring on that negativity and the depression and the despondency and the blame. But if we'll continue to come out of ourselves, we always have that right spiritual disposition. The second thing that we find from the Apostle Paul is that he's always praying for others. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 1, verses 3, and then again later in verse 9. We give thanks to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. And then later in verse 9, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray and make requests for you. Paul is always keeping others in mind. And then the little book of Philemon in verse 4, I thank my God always, making mention of thee in my prayers. Praising the Lord. And number 2, praying for others. Sometimes when there's troubles and trials in our life, we certainly pray for ourselves. We're certainly on our knees for ourselves. And Paul has a little bit of requests sometimes in his books about, can you pray for me? And we'll talk about that in a minute. But much of it is for others. This is what helps him get through. What helps us get through those troubles and those trials? And this, for Paul, was a couple of years. For us, it may be shorter, it may be longer. But praising God will help us to get through and praying for others. It gives us the right Christian attitude as we go through these kinds of things. The third thing that we find from the Apostle Paul is that he's constantly preaching the Word. You may have noticed in the scripture reading of Acts chapter 28 that for 2 years there, he's preaching the word with all boldness. And let me say something about troubles and trials. We think that that's a situation in which we can, like a turtle, just crawl inside of our shell and hide out for a while. It's actually the opposite for the Apostle Paul. He uses this as an occasion to preach to others. He writes 4 books of the New Testament. 4 of the 27 books are written from a Roman prison cell. I'm reminded of his statement in the book of Timothy where he says that the gospel is not bound. And I want us to think about, brethren, when problems are in our life, that's not an opportunity to say, well, it's bound for a little while. It's actually the opposite. That can be good. In Ephesians chapter 3, verses 8 and 9, unto me who am less than the least of all saints was this grace given to me. And Paul, his attitude was not, well, now that I'm in prison, I'm no longer a preacher to the Gentiles. He continued to preach and teach. The unsearchable riches of Christ, the gospel doesn't change when we have problems. And to make all men see what is the dispensation of the mystery, which for ages hath been hid in God who created all things. After giving the description of what we call the whole armor of God, Paul says in Ephesians and writes in chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, and on my behalf that utterance may be given unto me in opening my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly. Look at this. As I ought to speak. You know, when I'm in prison, I still ought to speak. That's interesting. There's never a time when I should not speak. And that's true for us today, brother. Those negative times or those problematic times in our life are not times to be quiet, but actually to continue to talk with others about the Word of God, because that may be the very open door that God is using to save others. This is one of the most impressive statements with me. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 1. One of the most impressive statements about the preaching of the Word of God. When was Paul most successful all the way up to Caesar's household himself? When was Paul successful in preaching the gospel? When he's in a Roman prison cell. This is impressive to me in Philippians chapter 1. Where he's talking about the preaching of the Word of God, and we find that it reaches the guards and it reaches all the way up to Caesar's household. Now I would have you know, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the progress of the gospel. Underscore that in your Bible. This is rather, you would think it would be a bad thing, but it's rather a good thing. It's rather falling out for the progress of the gospel. It hasn't stopped the gospel in one way. God has allowed people to come into my cell and leave, and I can teach and preach to them. I can even talk to the guards so that my bonds become manifest in Christ throughout the whole Praetorian Guard. This is the elite guard. And to all the rest. Turn over to the end of the book of Philippians when Paul is sending greetings in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 22. All the saints salute you. Look at this. Especially they that are of Caesar's household. Somebody says, well, when bad things happen in your life, you're not going to be able to get any good done. He got Caesar's household converted. And that's impressive. So when we say, well, you know, bad things are happening in my life. Well, that's right. But I can still talk with others and I can still have open doors with others. And that's the very door that was opened up to get to Caesar's household himself. And so, brethren, we need to remember that talking with others about the gospel never stops. In fact, those negative times in life can be the very open doors that we're using to help others. Turn over to the book of Colossians. We're going to be looking at Colossians chapter 1, verse 25. Wherefore I was made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which was given to me to you, or to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid for ages and generations, but now it hath been manifest to his saints, to whom God is pleased to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we proclaim. And that's even now, presently, while I'm in a prison. Admonishing every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfected in Christ. Now look at this. Whereunto I labor also, striving according to His working, which worketh in me mightily. God still works in us during difficult times. And God was working mightily in Paul while he's in a prison. God's efforts are not confined to certain places. God is not bound. God's word is not bound. God and His activities are not bound to only good times. Regardless of what we're going through, God can work in us and we can labor. And that's what the Apostle Paul did in preaching the Word of God to others. Look at Colossians chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. Continuing steadfastly in prayer, watching therein with thanksgiving, with all praying for us also, that God may open unto us a door for the Word. Paul's in a prison and he's saying, Lord, can you open up a door for the Word? And you know what he did? Because Caesar's household is converted. When we think of open doors, we might think of, well, just when times are good. This is a door that is being opened to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. I still ought to speak to others, even when things are not going well. And Paul did that. So praising the Lord, praying for others, and preaching the Word. This negative situation that is going on in my life is the very thing that God can use to reach others with the gospel. And in the book of Philemon, verse 13, we have a man, a slave named Onesimus, and a book is written to his master, Philemon. We have a man named Onesimus that somehow he had gotten to Rome. He had run away from his master. He gets to Rome. I don't know how he found Paul in a prison cell, but he's converted as a result of that. So when Paul says, whom I, he's talking about this Onesimus, whom I would fain have kept with me, that in thy behalf he might minister unto me in the bonds of the gospel. Onesimus was converted in Rome while he's running away from his master, because Paul has a character that we need to have today. This is the very opportunity that Paul used to convert this runaway slave. So the next time we think, well, there's problems and there's persecutions and perils in our life, understand that that can be the very thing that is the open door to talk with others. And then here's another thing. Not only the praise and the prayer and the preaching, but we have this idea that Paul had a personal care for others. He was selfless. And if there was ever a time for him to think of himself and get attention from others and woe is me, it would be while he's in prison. But even there, he still doesn't do it. He's always thinking about someone else. He's always having a personal care and concern for others. Look at Ephesians chapter 6. But that you also may know my affairs, how I do, Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister of the Lord, shall make known unto you all things whom I have sent unto you for this very purpose, that you may know our state and that he may comfort your hearts. I just don't want you, brethren, feeling bad for me. So he sends Tychicus. If there's ever an opportunity for Paul to say, well, I want people to feel bad for me, that would be a good time. But even then he's saying, no, I don't want you to be bothered. I want you to be comforted, so I'm going to send this man Tychicus so that he can tell you what's going on. Look at Philemon 1, 7 through 8. Even as it is right for me to be thus minded on behalf of you all. I am thus minded on behalf of you all. Because I have you in my heart. Underscore that in the Bible. I have you in my heart. It's a selfless attitude toward others, and that is extremely difficult when we're going through problems, but we need to be like that. I've talked with other brethren about these kinds of things before, and sometimes I've not been very successful. They want to remain in their depression. They want to remain in the woe is me state. And they want to remain in this, I just can't do anything right now. And I'm all torn up inside. And I'm not trying to belittle anybody's problems. But I'm telling you that the Apostle Paul, when he was selfless, he worked through his conflict and tribulation and sufferings. And he stayed faithful to the Lord. Because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, we just saw that point. He continued to stand for truth. You all are partakers with me of grace, for God is my witness how I long after you all in the tender mercies of Christ Jesus. Selfless attitude, personal care for others. Philippians 1, 24 through 26, yet to abide in the flesh is more needful for your sake. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide, yea, and abide with you all for your progress and joy in the faith. When I get let out of prison, I want to come back and help you, brethren, progress. I'll tell you what, if we had been locked up in prison for 2 years, the day that we get out, we'd probably want to go do something for ourselves, wouldn't we? Not Paul. Paul says, when I get out, I want to come back and help you. That your glory may abound in Christ Jesus and me through my presence with you again. I'm going to get out of prison and come back and help you, brother. What a great attitude. Personal care for others. It's the opposite, really, of what we see in the world today. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 17 through 18, look at what Paul says with regard to sending Timothy and Epaphroditus. Yea, and if I am offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. And in same manner do you also joy and rejoice with me. I want to be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith. And this is the word that Paul uses from the Old Testament, a drink offering that was poured out on top of the regular sacrifice. And so the brethren at Philippi, they're sacrificing for the Lord, and I'm poured out on top of that. Look at Philippians chapter 2 and verse 28. Speaking of Epaphroditus, I have sent him therefore the more diligently that when you see him again, you may rejoice and that I may be the less sorrowful. I don't want you brethren to have any problems or discomfort or be bothered by what's happening with me in prison. And I want someone to come and comfort you. Paul is always thinking about others. Is that us? In Philippians 4, verse 17, not that I seek for the gift, in talking about the monetary support that Philippi had sent him, not that I seek for the gift, but I seek for the fruit that increases to your account. I just want to preach so that your fruit can be born in your efforts to support the gospel. Paul thinking about others. Colossians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. For I would have you know greatly how I strive for you and for them that are at Laodicea. Always thinking about others. Colossians 2, 5. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit. Always thinking about others. Always praying for others. We find it in Colossians 4. We find it with regard to Philemon. Always having personal care for others. Then turn with me to Philippians 1 and verse 20. Here's another attitude of Paul. He had a positive attitude about his service. He's not sitting there in that cell, woe is me, and look at the problems that I'm going through. But he talks about, according to my earnest expectation and hope, if I die, I can go and be with Christ, or if I'm released, I can come back and work with you, brethren. But it was always a positive attitude. And we're very familiar with Philippians chapter 4. He talks about, I've been abased and I know how to abound. Where things are going great, I know how to be abased. I know how to be in want. Things are taken away from me. I know how to be filled. I am content. What a positive attitude. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There are Christians who quit the church and become unfaithful because of the troubles and the trials. They don't keep that positive attitude. They fall away. I am filled. What a beautiful thought. Spiritually speaking, he had everything he needed in Christ, and it came out in his attitude. Do we have that? Or do we complain and murmur? And what's interesting is, in the very same book, one of the places in the New Testament that talks about murmuring and complaining is the book of Philippians, a book that he writes from a prison cell. Philippians 2:14, do all things without murmurings and questionings. And Paul practiced that in his own life, because you don't find that when he's in prison. Do we have that positive attitude? Colossians 1:24, I rejoice in my sufferings. I rejoice. For your sake, always thinking about others, and fill up on my part that which is lacking of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake. I need to be going through this just as a Christian. For the sake of Christ, I'm a Christian. And when I follow Christ, I'm going to go through the same things that Christ went through. And I fill up on my part that which is lacking. Paul is even saying, you know, I probably should be suffering more. What a beautiful attitude that Paul had. And when he writes to Philemon, for I had much joy and comfort in thy love, because of the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through thee, brother. He speaks of joy. He writes a whole book, Philippians, that is full of joy in every chapter. That positive attitude. No complaining. No murmuring. I have joy in thee, he writes to Philemon. And withal prepare also a lodging, for I hope that through your prayers I shall be granted unto you. Let us have that in our life. And then there's progress. Turn with me to Philippians, the well-known passage. Paul is sitting in a Roman prison, and he's saying, I'm not already where I need to be. I'm not going to coast from here on out. I haven't reached a plateau, and I'm just going to let that be. But he says, I want to progress more. I count myself yet to have laid hold, but one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind and stretching forward to the things which are before, I press on toward the goal and to the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. This is Paul the aged, and he's still wanting to do more for the Lord. No quitting, no giving up, but always progressing in his faithfulness. And then turn to Philippians chapter 1 and verse 20. He's a pattern to others. And really, this is the whole point of the lesson. And we're going to be closing with this particular point, that he's saying, you need to follow my example. And that's why we're studying this evening. We're remembering Paul's bond. We're remembering how he personally dealt with these trials, because that is to be a pattern for us. His praising the Lord is to be a pattern for us, and praying for others and preaching the gospel and so forth. We're to follow his example. And that will help us to be the better Christian when we go through these problems in life. Paul says in Philippians 1:20, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing shall I be put to shame, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. He's going to show us Christ and how to live. In chapter 1, verses 29 and 30, because for you it hath been granted in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer in his behalf, having the same conflict which you saw in me and now here to be in me. You saw that I suffered at Philippi when I was in jail with Silas, and now you're seeing the same conflict when I'm in Rome. And it helps you to know how to act. Philippians 3:17, brethren, be imitators together of me. We're supposed to follow Paul. Walk as you have us as an example. Philippians 4:9, the things which you both learned and received and heard and saw in me, these things do. That's back when he was in Philippi in Acts 16. And then he's even an example now when he's writing the book and how he's acting in prison in Rome. Let me ask you this. When you're going through your problems, can you honestly say, I would want somebody to follow my example? That's pretty difficult. I know that there's times in my life where I would say it wouldn't be a good idea to follow my example. We're to follow Paul's example. and be the Christian that we need to be during difficult times. The lesson is yours. Are we going to praise the Lord, or are we going to complain? Are we going to pray for others or selfishly think about ourselves? Are we going to use this as an open door to preach the gospel to others? Are we going to be personally caring and concerning for others, or selfish? Positive in attitude or negative? Progressing in faithfulness or throwing our hands and giving up? Are we a pattern to those around us? Our children are watching us. They hear us. They see us. The grandkids, the kids, the young people at Warfield Boulevard. Are we a pattern? Are we a pattern to others? If we act like Paul, we can be. And what a beautiful example in this man. I'm impressed when I see what he was during those 2 years. And the record is there for us to learn from, so that when we have to go through those types of things in our life, that we can act like the Apostle Paul. Maybe this evening you need to progress, move on to the next stage in your obedience to the gospel. Come repenting and being baptized. Maybe as an erring child of God, you have let difficult troubles and trials cause you to not praise the Lord, but maybe complain to the Lord. And you need to come back in some kind of way. But as we study these prison epistles, learn the great doctrines. Learn those great doctrines about the church. Learn those great doctrines about the home and family. But let's also learn just from Paul himself on how to work through these kinds of things that may happen in our life. If you're subject to the invitation, if we can help you in some way, why won't you come as we stand and as we sing?